For the Orleans County Historical Association, July 11, 1979, Helen McAllister of Medina, New York, is interviewing Mr. Clyde Walters. Mr. Walters lives at 935 Gwynne Street in Medina, New York, with his wife, Gladys LeVan Walters. This tape primarily concerns a family store in Eagle Harbor that served the canal, and banking in Medina, New York.
Born in Eagle Harbor, New York, and my parents were Susanna Boyle Walters and Eli Walters was my dad. And he came from Devonshire, England at age of 15. And he had four brothers and a sister. And
what were the brothers' names?
George, John, James, William were the brother's name, and a sister, Mary.
Who's that?
No, I don't know. John, the oldest boy, came over to this country first. And then he went back and got all the rest of the family and brought them over. Whether that's interesting or not.
Yes, it is. Why did he come to this area rather than something else? You don't know. Oh, okay.
I don't know anything about that.
Okay.
You want me to start on that?
Sure.
John Walters, the oldest boy, came to Eagle Harbor first, and it impressed him so much that he went back to England and brought his parents and the rest of the family, who all located in Eagle Harbor.
What did they do there for a living when they came over?
Well, as far as I know, my dad is 15, and I've heard him tell him going out that he was out in the fields pulling beans and like that. That's all I know about, and then they gradually went into the grocery business.
Mm-hmm.
And John was a farmer.
I see.
And James was a cooper. Mm-hmm. That is. Where you want me to start?
Mm-hmm.
As I remember, as a young child, my dad was always in the store, and the store was run by George, William, and Eli, three brothers. They also had a cooper shop and a dry house, and a canal trade that was used and waiting on boats that came through. And also connected with the store was a grocery wagon, which ran 4 days a week. They took butter and eggs from farmers who ran an account with the store, and in the fall, they would start out and collect and take apples for the dry house and apply the butter and eggs and the apples towards the bill. And if a farmer gave more than his bill came to, why, they paid them off in cash. The apples are also used in the cooper shop to pay farmers for barrels that they were sold during the season for apples.
Mm-hmm. You mean a farmer needed the apples, needed the barrels?
Needed the barrels, and they'd take the apples in, and the butter and eggs, and they'd settle up in the fall. Mm-hmm. Maybe the farmer would owe them, or they'd owe the farmer and take mm-hmm. business.
Well, in those days, how did they keep the apples, or didn't they try to? Did they have
cold
storage?
They had a dry house.
A dry house is like a cold storage, is it?
No. I'll explain it here.
Okay.
The dry house took drop apples and were hauled in and put in bins. And the men put the apples in crates, took them into the dry house, where women used machines to pare the apples. And a long bench along beside the machines, and the women trimmed the bad spots out of the apples. The apples went into an elevator on that floor and were elevated to the second floor, where the apples were sliced by a slicer, and then went through a process known as bleaching. And bleaching was a process of using sulfur fumes to keep the apples natural color instead of turning dark. Mm-hmm. After they came out of the slicer, they were taken into the kilns. A kiln is a place for drying with slats spaced between so the heat will come up from the furnaces below. And at night, after everything was shut down, they had a night man come, and he turned 5 kilns of apples. So in the morning, they were sacked and taken to their own storage until there was a market for selling the dried apples.
Where would the storage be?
Barn, on the same property. Hmm.
But if you wanted a fresh apple after apple season, was there any way of keeping the apples fresh?
No. There's no storage, just a dry house. At that time, there were 3 dry houses in Eagle Harbor. And they were sort of a hazardous thing because of the fires that they had to have in the furnaces, and they're fiery red all night long.
Did they burn coal or wood?
Coal. Mm-hmm. And many times the dry houses caught a fire, mm-hmm. as happened to 2 of the other dry houses, and burned down. Mm-hmm. Only left Waller's Brothers dry house in operation. Hmm. I used to go home after seeing those fires at night and wondered if the dry house would be there in the morning.
Do you remember the fires?
Oh, yes.
How did they put them out, or try to put them out?
Well, there wasn't any fire department. They just were gone. That's all there was to it.
Did they have bucket brigades of water or anything?
No, they didn't seem to have.
Just
a hazard. Now, the grocery wagon was a wagon that was on the road for 4 days a week. Ran Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they used to stock the wagon up again. Thursday and Friday, it was on the road again. They had 3 horses and rotated the horses so that it wouldn't be too much of a job for 2 of them on the road all the time. And that's where they got their butter and eggs from the farmers' wives. Mm-hmm. Come out and trade, and ran an account until fall. And many times they'd deliver more butter and eggs than they got groceries, and then Waller's Brothers would pay
them. What would they carry on their wagon? Would they go out and get orders?
All kinds of groceries. Uh-huh. It was like a covered wagon drawn by 2 horses. And draws in the back of the wagon that ran, well, probably the wagon was, you could stand up in it, 5-6 foot high. And these draws were full of groceries. And on top of it was a area that they could put packages and so forth. And up in the front of the wagon was a place for eggs, a big box with a cover on it, and they put the eggs that were brought out in that. And also the seat where the driver sat was the same way. It was a box where you could put eggs.
How about the butter? What did that, how did you get that?
Well, the butter wasn't in the crocks, and they'd find a place to put that.
Did you have to return the crocks later or not?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Next trip that you went out in the country, you'd take the crock back and they'd have the name on the back, on the bottom of the crock.
This was to service the people in that area. What about the canal boats that came through?
Well, servicing the people in the dry house area, or the
Eagle Harbor
grocery wagon. They generally made a trip to the east on one day, the west another day, north, third day, and south the fourth day. Mm-hmm. So they covered the territory within reason of the store.
Mm-hmm. Were there other stores that gave you competition?
Bennett Brothers and William Putt had both had stores.
Yeah. William Putt?
The grocery wagon.
William Putt. Oh. What about the canal boats that came through? Why did they stop at Eagle Harbor?
Well, because one thing, it was a seemed to be a stop then where all the canal boats drawn by horses and mules stopped if they were a customer of Walters Brothers. And if they came through in the middle of the night, my dad slept over the store, so to always be ready to wait on them. And they had the first telephone in Eagle Harbor from the store to our house and to my uncle's house, William Walters. And they'd get a ring at night and come and help wait on the canal trade. And they bought everything that they had to have in the grocery line, including hay and oats for the horses and the mules, and kerosene. So that they were well taken care of by everything that they needed. And usually when they stopped for groceries, they changed the mules and put on a fresh team.
How would you change a mule? What the mules that walked along?
That picture.
Would they take them off the boat or?
Well, first they'd get the mules out of the stalls in the boat on a bridge that ran from the boat to the canal bank and lead them off. Then put the team on the bridge that went to the canal bank to the boat and went down into the place for the horses and mules.
See, did the canal boats carry their own little walkway bridge for the animals?
Yes, that's right.
What happened? Did a mule or horse ever fall off when they were doing that change?
Well, so once in a while, one would make a misstep and fall in. And they'd try to, of course, they had a bridle on it and hang on to it and try to get it down where the bank sloped up gradually, maybe half a mile. Because this is all straight up the wall where the boats came. And if they're lucky, they'd get the mule back on the bank, put it about into the boat. Mm-hmm. You can see what.
Yes. Well, you said earlier, Mr. Walters, that there was some kind of a spot at Eagle Harbor for the boats to turn around.
Yes. Well, that was a what we called a turn basin. Mm-hmm. And I think the purpose of it was that if boats wanted to change the direction, or if they maybe two boats came along at one time, they'd put some of them over in the turn basin until the other boat got out of the way. Mm-hmm. And went on its way, then the other boat would come on and be waited on. Mm-hmm. It was for convenience. Mm-hmm. Now in Eagle Harbor, they also had a storage where they stored wheat and hay and oats and all of those things. And beyond that was what we call the phosphate house. It was where they took and mixed different kinds of phosphate and sold it to the farmers.
Were these things also owned by your family?
No.
No.
I'm trying to think. Three things that make up phosphate.
But phosphate is a type of fertilizer?
Yes.
Yes. Did you sell any kind of, did your father sell any kind of medicine at the store?
Yes, that's a good question. They sold laudanum. And you asked me the other day what laudanum was, and I looked it up. It's an opiate.
Oh, dear.
And I remember being in the store one time, and somebody came in from the laudanum, and he was told that the law wouldn't permit them to sell it anymore. And I asked my dad about it, and he told me that laudanum was used for pain. Mm-hmm. And they take laudanum, and instead of going to a doctor, well, they'd take the laudanum, and laudanum is an opiate. And they also sold yard goods. And if you're familiar with the old-time grocery store, crackers always came in barrels, big as an apple barrel. Mm-hmm. The crackers were packed in rings.
And, what do you mean, packed in rings?
Well, they'd start in the bottom and put a ring around the bottom and then put another layer on top of that until they got to the top. Mm-hmm. And that's the way they were shipped to them. Mm-hmm. There were no packaged goods in those days at all. Mm-hmm. If you wanted coffee, you asked for a pound of coffee, and it was ground through the coffee mill and put in a paper sack, or tea, or crackers, or there was no packaged goods to any extent at all.
And your family store had to have large supplies of paper bags, too.
That's right.
Did they sometimes use not just paper bags, but cloth?
No.
For rice or sugar or anything?
No, rice was put in them.
In paper bags.
Yeah. There's no packaged goods at that time to speak of.
did the homemakers in those days buy their flour and sugar in larger quantities?
Yes, that's a good question. Fels naphtha soap was the principal soap in those days. And the principal flour that was sold was gold metal, which is still prevalent today, Fels naphtha soap and gold metal flour.
Yes. I can remember Fels naphtha soap. I can remember the fragrance permeating the whole house the night before my mother would boil stuff on the stove.
And compared to today, with all the washing powders that we have on TV and everything, I don't remember of any washing powders that they had in those days. Just soap, bars of soap.
Did people make their own soap still when you were a boy?
Well, they probably did, but I wasn't familiar with it. I know that years ago that they made soap in the farms, including apple butter and various things that they used in the farm.
Yes, apple butter. Mr. Walters.
Maple syrup also was prevalent.
Yes.
Homemade.
Did your store sell maple syrup too as well? Did they get it, or were so many farmers?
So many farmers had it that they didn't.
No.
All right. During Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, previous to those holidays, the store carried oysters for sale to customers, and a quart of oysters could be bought for about 35 cents in those days.